If this episode goes up on the 3rd, which is it should, or else I'll be in Ocean City without an episode being up, we'll have done 4 episodes in 30 days.
Ooh.
Look at us.
And then we'll have to make it up by
going like a month without episodes.
Not recording it in July.
Yeah.
Howdy, it's Monday, June 29th, 2026, and this is episode 283 of Due for a Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Askin, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
The World Cup, 2 good games today, which is really important to mention on a podcast that's not going to come out for a week. But
it is.
Brazil, Japan.
That should be a good game, yep.
Netherlands against someone I already forgot who they're playing. Great World Cup content.
Incredible content.
Morocco, Netherlands.
Just as good as our Atlantic City content.
Yeah, which we have for you in spades today. Yeah.
2 good casinos. One of them is Ocean, and the other one I've already forgotten, but...
What? Was that something that happened on an episode?
No, but, you know, something that happened 1 minute ago about our World Cup content.
Yes, okay.
There's like 9 casinos. Who can remember that many? Not me, that's for certain.
Yeah, soon it'll be down to 8, and then it'll be a little easier.
Praise
Tillman Fertitta.
Tillman Fertitta for giving us really what we need, which is just easier to remember all the casinos.
Yeah. So we got a would you rather from Tom L, who he did the call for content last week.
Mm-hmm.
First, he had a message for us. We met Tom L at Hard Rock last trip, and this was after both Nobu Tanoshi Hour and Jerry Longo's Meatballs and Martinis, where we only took advantage of the martinis and not the meatballs. And you had gone to King's Pub.
And drinking on the Bally's floor.
And you had gone to several places before that. So anyways.
And I went to King's Pub also before we did all of that. And Tom Tapper. Yeah, good times.
So he said, thanks again for meeting up at Hard Rock a few weeks ago. Was good to meet you guys. Was funny to listen to the next episode. It makes a lot more sense that Kyle was really wasted.
The most, yeah. No, that was really bad.
More or less wasted than you were in Black Hawk. That apparently just ended your trip, by the way.
More, I think.
Wow, impressive.
It didn't end my trip. I did some stuff Saturday. I mean, like, losing all the money ended the trip just as much, I think, on the first night, so. It's because I...
Yeah, that hurts.
...made a decision to not go to the ATM after, on the Atlantic City trip. I went to the ATM twice on that trip and still lost all the money, so it was not the best.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So the would you rather from Tom L. is... If you could get into a time machine and either visit Vegas in its heyday or Atlantic City in its heyday, not to be confused with Heyday Coffee, which one would you choose? I'm guessing Atlantic City would be around 1990 and Vegas maybe 1995. I hadn't been to either until after those dates. I'm thinking I would probably still go to Vegas, but it would be interesting to see Atlantic City before so many changes. I never saw ACH or spent any time at the Taj by the time I was going to AC. Certainly ACH is the casino that everybody looks back on and thinks, oh, if only I had made it to peak Atlantic City Hilton.
If only.
Actually, Golden Nugget in the Wynn era probably is one of the casinos on that list. I would have liked to see Caesars before the total redoing of the outside. Because if you see pictures, it used to be very glass. It was very pointy, I'll say. That's the best way I can describe it. The boardwalk facing side was extremely pointy and glass. Glass is pointy sometimes. I don't know what else, you know, Taj opened in 1990. In terms of revenue, that was the peak of Atlantic City, like the early 90s.
You understand the history more than me. So, like, what was still around that? Like, was the Playboy Club open in 1990? Like, what were the years of that? Or, you know, slash Atlanta, slash whatever it was?
The Playboy Club was so, so briefly open.
Mm-hmm.
There were never more than 12 casinos in Atlantic City, right? So, 12 sounds like a ton. Now that we are down to 8, but we're down to 9.
Golden Nugget is still indeed going, but
man, that's great. The Playboy opened in 81 and renamed itself to Atlantis in 84.
Mm-hmm.
And
when was that open until?
89, and then it was Trump Regency from 89 to 96.
All right, so I could have seen it, yeah.
And then Trump's World's Fair from 96 to 99.
Is that the only real property that I've never seen in Atlantic City? I guess so, right? Because I went to Sands.
Claridge? Did you go to the Del Webb's?
I never saw Claridge when it was a casino. No, I have not. That's true.
There was a small casino there when I started going. The Ridge. But I don't think we ever even bothered to go into it.
Yeah, I don't remember ever going into it.
But yeah, you went to Trump's Plaza. You went to the Showboat, obviously. Did you make it to Trump Castle?
It's still open. I'm just counting the buildings.
That's true.
Right?
That's a good point.
Like, it's still literally still open. I mean, maybe not in a year, but for now. Sands is the only one that's...
The building's gone?
Yeah, the building's gone, right?
Well, yeah. Like, Showboat's not a casino anymore.
Right. But it's, you know, still there. And
ACH
like...
is shuttered.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you spend a ton of time there. So yeah, I think...
Yeah, ACH is gone, too. So ACH is closed. Sands is gone. Then the Trump Regency / Playboy Club / Atlantis is gone.
But yeah, I think the early 90s is probably the peak
mm-hmm.
when Taj Mahal was just the hottest thing in gaming.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to see that. But still, I'd rather go to Vegas. And I'd like to do earlier Vegas, 70s, 80s, something like that.
Right. I want to see the old downtown with like the mint, right? Mm-hmm. And like the pictures that you see everywhere. Certainly, the thing that changed Vegas was Mirage and all the mega resorts that have come in since then. But I feel like we're experiencing that now and or got to experience that in the 2000s. Like Wynn didn't open until 2005.
When was the first time you went? I think it was 2007, almost certainly for me, or maybe early 2008.
To Vegas? I went in 2002 when I was 18 years old.
Oh, that's right. Oh, so you didn't really get to go to casinos, right?
I mean, I walked through New York, New York. I remember thinking it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just the food court area and everything there, the way they did it. We stayed in the Travel Lodge or the Econo Lodge. I can't remember which it was, across from
Circus Circus?
No, south.
Oh, okay. Because there's one like right next to Circus Circus, I think as well, right?
I'm not sure.
There's some motel there anyway.
But the one we were in was down more near Excalibur.
Okay.
And I remember just seeing Excalibur as an 18-year-old and being like, this is the biggest architectural marvel of our time.
Yeah, so you went to Las Vegas before me.
And then I didn't go again until 2009 or 10.
What was that for?
June 2010, Dave's bachelor party was the next time I went. So you're saying Vegas, older times.
Yeah.
I agree. I would rather see that. I would rather see 60s, 70s Vegas than 1990s Atlantic City, which feels like blasphemy for the podcast.
Yeah, I think it's just true.
Here's another question for you, though. What about 1920s Atlantic City, Nucky era? Put on your suit, walk down the boardwalk, get your saltwater taffy, see the infants in the incubators on the boardwalk.
That's true. Yeah, that's the important thing.
Would you go for 1920s Atlantic City?
I don't even know which I prefer between 1990 Atlantic City or 1920 Atlantic City. It's close. I think I still prefer Vegas, though. But I'm not sure between Atlantic City 1925 and Atlantic City 1992.
I think I would pick 1992.
I think so as well. It would be more familiar for me, certainly. Like, it would be kind of familiar, but still very different in a way that my brain would be able to, like, understand a bit better, I think. I mean, 1925, there's still the Ritz or whatever. Like, how many buildings are still around from then?
It would have been cool to see, like, the Marlboro Blenheim and mm-hmm. all those old things. The United States Hotel, you know. So we've talked about all those things in the history segments. So it would be cool to see that, but I can still see pictures of it. I don't think I necessarily need to experience it, although maybe mm-hmm. the experience of going into the opulent lobbies of these old hotels would have been cool. But as far as, you know, we're interested in gambling and casinos, and I think old Vegas is just so important to the way I think casinos are perceived in this country. Yeah. I think like going and experiencing that, it would be incredible. So I think you've got to go with that. I'm sticking with that too.
Yep, we're on the same page, I think.
So we hinted at our drunken escapades last trip, or more your drunken escapades.
Yep.
One thing that you did during that trip was go and drink on Bally's casino floor and play some craps.
Yeah, famously gave us a can of beer, a full can, which is great.
Our friend Dave messaged me last night saying that he's now getting 7 nights a week comped at Bally's through October, so all through the summer, $35 free bets, which... It's not amazing, but it's actually pretty good for what Atlantic City is doing right now. I think most casinos don't do that well.
I mean, it's pretty good for what Atlantic City is doing. It is pretty good considering, like, surely we play craps for, like, 20 minutes.
Right.
Right.
That's the big thing. He can also get 2 bottles of wine, he says. And if he goes on July 17th or 18th, a certificate for a Norwegian cruise.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they just rated him at $1,000 a roll or what happened there, because you definitely were not there very long.
No, we weren't there long. So, I mean, I've said it before, Bally's is so insanely generous to table game players. I mean, obviously, like, I get over $100 of free play anytime I want to go or whatever, plus like $100 of reward credits, plus, yeah, 7 nights a week comps in theory, even though half the time when I call them, they say they can't give it to me.
It's fascinating because I feel like a lot of the casinos are extremely generous to slot players, including very low limit penny slot mm-hmm. players like me. Like Borgata treats me pretty well for slots.
Yeah, the two opposite are resorts and valleys, 100%. And they're, like, insanely generous, I think, for table games and, like, not terribly generous for other things.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of explains why you get really good resorts comps and valleys comps, and I don't get very good comps at either of those places, whereas I get surprisingly good comps at Caesars properties, although no free play really to speak of, and Borgata treats me really well. And Ocean, after playing some slots, I won't say they treat me that well. They gave me, like, Monday through Wednesday comps. That's not great. So I don't know what you need to do at Ocean to get comped, but apparently it's nothing that either of us have really been doing lately.
I mean, I haven't played there in like 3 years, so.
That's a good point. We'll see next time you go play some table games.
Next time I go. Yep, next time I go. I can go to Ocean in 2 days.
Yeah. Are you going to do it? You're going to go on like a...
No, I'm not going to do it.
On like a Thursday afternoon?
Nope.
You'll be in Ocean City, Maryland. I can't believe you're going to Ocean City, Maryland and not going to Atlantic City, New Jersey.
I know. I can't. It's like... an hour drive and then like waiting for the ferry for an unknown amount of time and then like another hour. Yeah, it's gonna be great. It's probably literally not closer than it is from my house, so certainly at the timing, you know, if you hit the ferry wrong, it will be much longer than from my house.
So we talked last episode about the Hook closing.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad. It is not closing until after the summer. And they posted something on Facebook the other night that was a very short video of Dick Marlin, who is the host of the show.
Yeah.
And it said, living on a prayer, come in June 30th at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else. So it's like, what is this? Somebody asked if it was a new show. There was no comment. But they have posted another post saying, a New Jersey summer music video event coming June 30th. So I think they're just going to make a music video of Living on a Prayer with the cast of The Hook in and around Atlantic City. That's my guess. Before this episode is posted, you'll be able to go see that. I'm a little surprised they're doing this much marketing, but I guess they've got over 2 months of shows left to go.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was looking at the seating chart on Friday when I had my day off.
Which we'll get to what you did on that day.
Not many tickets sold for the Friday 7 p.m. show. It was quite disappointing to see that.
I mean, it was pretty full, I feel like, when we went on like the Monday or whatever where we went. But
Was it?
I don't know. I mean, there was like people in our row.
There were people there, and it was a Tuesday or Wednesday in February, I believe. So
not a Tuesday because I went to Nobu. So
it wasn't a Monday because The Hook doesn't run on Mondays.
Okay, there we go. It was Wednesday.
So we've hinted at it. Let's talk about what I did on Friday.
Yeah, what'd you do? I was quite pleased when I opened up my Twitter and saw it.
I really kicked around a bunch of different ideas, and I was debating hard, even into late Thursday night, coming up with multiple itineraries, as you know I do, between Wind Creek Bethlehem and Atlantic City, as we hinted at last episode. And then the morning of Friday, I was sitting on the can, and I was like, what if I went to Resorts World New York?
That would have been good. I would have 100% approved of that as well.
And I looked at the bus schedule. It's actually only about an hour on the bus and then an hour on the train, or 45 minutes on the train. So it's not too bad. It would be shorter than going to Atlantic City, although maybe not with the wait. But the big advantage would be, you know, I can just get ripped on some cocktails and stuff and then take the subway back home and the bus and not have to drive. But in doing research, apparently the entire first floor casino at Resorts World is under construction, which is where most of the slots are. And so I was like, this doesn't seem like it's going to be a good experience. And so I was looking at the floor map, and basically there's a whole floor of table games, and then there's another floor with some slots. I also couldn't figure out if the slots had been replaced yet, where they're no longer video lottery terminals. I'm assuming that's what the renovation is of the first floor casino, is stripping out all those video lottery terminals and putting in real normal slots. So I decided that should wait until that's done. But at some point, I will make it to Resorts World for a full report, even though any money I spend at Resorts World should be spent in Atlantic City if I support Atlantic City. But, you know, for the pod.
Did you know, surprisingly, Wind Creek Bethlehem, closer to my house than Atlantic City?
No way.
3 hours, 7 minutes, 172 miles. And Atlantic City, New Jersey is... Hold on, greatest six time. Oh, no. Nope. Same distance, pretty much, but Atlantic City is like 10 minutes closer.
Atlantic City wins again.
Yep. But it's the same. It's not, I assumed it was much farther than Atlantic City.
So I walked out the door at the time I would have needed to leave for the bus to go to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to the...
under construction resorts world.
So I got in the car and punched in Tropicana Atlantic City and started out toward Atlantic City. As I'm sitting at a red light, I'm like checking the times between Bethlehem and Atlantic City and which one should I do. I did not decide until I had to pick a direction to go on 280, which is the decision point of you're either going east toward the parkway and going toward Atlantic City or you're going west toward 78 and going out to Bethlehem. And at the very last minute, I took a right and went west toward Bethlehem. And as soon as I got on 280, I was like, oh, I should have just gone to Atlantic City. But it's about 40 minutes closer to go to Bethlehem. And I was just thinking about how unbelievably tired I would be doing all this running around in Atlantic City and then trying mm-hmm. to drive home at 10 p.m. and knowing I had a 2-hour and 5-minute drive home. And so I think I made the right decision. In the drive home, I was like, I'm glad I'm not driving 2 hours right now. So I went to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. It does not feel like a long drive, I will say. It's a pretty nice drive going out that way. It's like out into some hills and stuff toward the Poconos. Went into Bethlehem, got some coffee, walked around for a surprising amount of time. Got some poutine at the Flying V, which was fantastic, highly recommended. And then after about an hour and a half, I was like, what am I doing? I should be in the casino. And so I went and parked at Bethlehem, went inside, immediately found a Wonder Woman machine.
That doesn't sound like Nickel Monopoly, but go ahead.
I could not find that Monopoly machine there. So sat down, 50 cents a press, Wonder Woman, lost $40, no song, did not get the bonus. Very disappointing. What a terrible start to the trip. So then I walked around, looked to see what was open. They have a lot of tiles tables. So they had 4 tiles tables open at 1:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. They were $50 to $100 minimums, so I obviously was not going to play any of that. There was one traditional Paigo poker table, not face-up, traditional Paigo poker, $25, so that's not terrible. Blackjack starting at $15, craps starting at $15, so not terrible. So then I was like, you know what, I've got $65 of free play, and so I loaded $20 of that onto Bao Zhu Xiao Fu, turned that into $40. Then I sat down at Neptune. I think the first or second spin, it filled the entire screen with Neptunes.
And that sounds
good.
Gave
me a wheel bonus that gave me $50, which was actually like one of the lowest amounts that it could have given me. And then I went and played Spooky Link with the Yeti, which apparently is incredibly popular. It was hard to get on one of these machines. I saw it on a Matt Bridger video where he kept getting the bonus, and I'll say the Yeti is very funny, but it's $1 a spin minimum, and I was just losing, losing, losing. So all that money I made in my free play was pretty much gone. And then I hit a bonus. And it does this thing where it expands the screen and expands how much space the Yeti takes up, and anything, any little bonus ball that lands within the space that the Yeti's taking up, you collect. I ended up hitting a $200 bonus on a $1 bet, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm like, this casino's the best. I'm up $140. This is going great. I'm like, let me go to the video poker bar and watch some of the soccer, even though neither of the games were particularly great that were going on. Asked what I could get comped, and they said nothing. So no comp drinks at the video poker bar. They said if I wanted soda or something like that, I could do that.
Do they do comp drinks at the table?
They do comp on the floor, yeah. And you can order on the machine, which is great.
Okay. Because I was going to say, if it's like Maryland, you also would not get comp drinks, but you do not get comp drinks anywhere because it is against the law. So.
Right. Yeah, so they do comp drinks. It's very weird that they don't comp at the video poker bar. Another weird thing is the video poker machines on the floor are all 6-5 jacks or better for a quarter.
It's pretty bad.
But then at the bar, it's 8-5 jacks or better for a quarter.
Sounds better.
Yeah, so it's very odd. So I played for a little while there. I hit a straight flush where I was holding 10 king and I got 9 jack queen of diamonds. And at first glance, I looked at it and was like, oh, that's just a flush. And then I said, oh, no, that's a straight flush. And then I realized, oh, I was one away from the royal. Like I was one card off from the royal. So you can't really complain about $62.50.
You can, but...
But certainly would have been better if it was 1,000.
Yeah.
But still, at this point, you know, I'm up 200 some odd dollars. I think I was up like $220. Everything's going great. I decided to leave the bar, walk around. I think I went out to the outlets and looked around. The outlets are not the best, I'll say. Went and got a Starbucks for $8. And I have to say, $8 Starbucks was cursed. Because
that was it.
Everything after that was just losses, losses, losses. So,
like we talked about last episode, yeah, don't go to Starbucks.
You'll be happy to know I ended exactly even.
that's good.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's not so bad.
It's not as bad. It would have been way worse to be up $220 and leave down $300. But at one point, I had extra $100 bills in my wallet. I was like, this is awesome. Anytime you can go home and put extra $100 bills in your gambling stash, that's a great thing. But that's not how it went. So everything I sat down at, just very quick. I did play Wonder Woman and hear the song. It cost me $20, but I did get to hear the song. And then everything else, it was literally just like nothing. No bonuses, no line hits. I sat down at Huff and Even More Puff, and I think I literally won like 65 cents in line hits and nothing else in losing $40. So that was good. That's about my Huff and Puff experience normally. Then I wandered around indecisively looking for dinner, ended up at Bethlehem Barrel and Draft House, which is out in the outlets.
Mm-hmm.
I got something called a beef tip sandwich on the waiter's recommendation. And I bit into it and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever tasted in my life. Like, what is this wizardry? It's incredible. And then like four bites into it, I was like, actually, this is the saltiest thing I've ever tasted in my life. Yeah. I don't know if I'm even going to be able to finish it. It was actually saltier than the ricotta at Angeloni's Club Madrid.
That's not possible. I refuse to believe it.
It was unbelievably salty. It was even that first bite, I was like, wow, this is so good. And then as I'm chewing it, I'm like, by the time I get through half of the sandwich, I'm not going to be feeling it anymore. I did finish the sandwich, though. But it was good. Tasty enough. Ended up going back into the casino just because at this point I'm up $60. And I was like, let me throw my last $60 into something and see how it goes. Went to some bubble craps. It was just 0.7 out, 0.7 out, 0.7 out. I think the bubble craps machine was rigged. So I lost my $60, got in the car and drove home.
The magnets were working.
Yeah, the magnets were on point for sure. So that was my Wind Creek trip. I'm glad I did that instead of going to, say, Six Flags, which was one of my options. But yeah, another trip I'll do, Resorts World. I did leave thinking I would have had a more fun day if I just did the Atlantic City day trip, I think. It would have been very packed. I would have been extremely tired at the end of it. But if I had just like gone to Tropicana, watched some soccer at the beer garden, walked around, went to the Hook, I think that would have made for a more fun day. Halfway through the day when I was winning, I was thinking, this is a great casino. If you plopped this casino in Atlantic City, it would be like only behind Borgata and maybe Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I left, I was like, you know, there's really nothing to do there. The town is cute for a little bit, but after that hour and a half, there was nothing else I really cared to do in the town. And if you're done with the casino, you can't just go to another casino. There's nothing else there. I did very briefly consider splitting the trip between Wind Creek and Mount Airy.
Where is that?
They're both very similar distances from my house. I'm not sure how close they are to each other.
Let me see.
Luckily, we have the wizardry of Google Maps to check.
It's a little bit north.
49 minutes. That's kind of far.
Yeah.
It's too far.
A bit north.
So yeah, on the drive home, I was kind of thinking, A, I'm glad I was not doing a 2 hour plus drive home. But also, now that I've done Wind Creek twice, do I need to do it again?
I was going to say, next time you do it, I really want to come and check it out. You know, maybe we could do both. Maybe we could spend the night somewhere. Do you get comp rooms at Wind Creek?
I get weekday comps at Wind Creek.
Yeah. We could check out the Mount Airy.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in it, personally. We would have to spend a night there for it to be worth it for me. Like, I don't want to do a day trip there. But, no, I'm interested.
From my perspective, being only an hour and 20 minutes away, it feels very worth it for a day trip, even just quick, like an afternoon.
Yeah.
Go get some poutine in Bethlehem and then go gamble for a few hours and drive home. But I was really trying to make a full day out of it and also trying to get home after the kids were in bed. Because, you know, if you have that opportunity, you have to take it.
Right. You don't want to get home and then put the kids to bed. That's just terrible. Right?
There was a point where it was like 5:30 and I was ready to go. And I was like, the traffic will probably be bad. And I looked and the traffic was not bad at all. So I was thinking I could
just... Yeah, I mean, but like, who's working in like Bethlehem and driving to northern New Jersey? That's crazy.
Right. I was thinking, oh, I could just get home at 7. But why would I do that? I would much rather get home at 10.
Well, because as we discussed last episode or two episodes ago, you're father of the year. You're like, I'm never going to take a trip away from my family again because I just love them so much. So that's why you do it.
And now here we are planning a trip to random places in Pennsylvania.
So, right. Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. If we could do an overnight, maybe go to Mount Airy first and then go to Wind Creek for the night. I think you would like the Wind Creek Casino a lot.
Yeah, I suspect I would. It sounds similar to Maryland Live, which is also another very nice casino.
That is what I was thinking.
Though I had some issues my last time there, but...
Yeah. I like the vibe better than Maryland Live, but I think part of that's that Maryland Live is attached to a mall.
It's not attached. You have to, like, cross a little street to get to the mall. But yeah.
I like Wind Creek fine. I'm not in any big rush to go back. Atlantic City is certainly way more fun. So, you know, if you have the option to go to Atlantic City
Maybe in the fall or the spring or something, we can talk about it and maybe try to make something happen.
That's true.
When are we going to Atlantic City? As you said, you need to go before Labor Day.
Sometime in August. A weekday in August. But okay. I can't give you a confirmed date yet. But it should not be terribly hard with only one child at home.
When is Las Vegas happening?
Never.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Atlantic City only. I only go to Wind Creek, Bethlehem. I do not go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's true. This is the Wind Creek, Bethlehem, and Mount Airy casino podcast.
Right. Poconos area podcasts only.
Let me tell you what's far, the Poconos for me.
Apparently not that far.
Allentown, Bethlehem's a little bit south of the Poconos, right?
Yeah, Mount Airy's fully in the Poconos.
Mount Airy's like in the Poconos, yeah. That's another hour away or whatever. When we went, traffic was horrible that day too, but this was like 10 years ago at least, no more, 12.
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago.
Yeah, when we met in the Poconos, that took forever.
Surely nothing our listeners care about more than our most recent Poconos trip report.
Yep.
So we got some mailbag questions.
Yeah, we got some mailbag questions. First, Bogan, who I met.
Friend of all podcasts.
Friend of the pod, yeah. Made a YouTube comment on episode 279 saying, I've flown Breeze a bunch of times. Their first class product is great and their economy product isn't bad, especially because they use the A220, which is a 2-3 configuration in economy. The problem I have with them is that it isn't cheap anymore and their schedule is so limited. For example, the Charleston to Atlantic City route only flies Wednesday and Saturday, which is not all that useful. And heaven forbid there's a cancellation, you'll be waiting 3 or 4 days for the next flight. I think that all sounds right. And the problem specifically is, I guess, that they're the only airplane that flies out of ACY. Yeah, you're really going to be stuck waiting.
Yeah.
Because some airlines will put you on a competing airline to get you home more quickly. But yeah, from ACY, I mean, I guess in theory, they could put you on the bus that takes you to Philadelphia or whatever. But
right.
And usually the low-cost carriers, like I know famously, I think Allegiant absolutely will never put you on another airline, I believe, last I checked. So no, I think that makes sense, and I do understand that. I mean, if I lived in Charleston and wanted to go to Atlantic City, I would still fly them, but I understand the concerns.
I think I need to fly out of Atlantic City for the pod.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all. It's 2 hours away.
Right. But you have to do it.
Yeah. Just fly from Atlantic City to, like, Orlando. Why wouldn't I?
Why not?
I don't know if that's even one of the routes, but...
And then go to Disney by yourself. It'll be great.
Yeah.
I think it is a route.
We also got a message from Table Games James.
Not friend of the pod.
From the Handy at the Shandy podcast, who he brought this question to us in person, but also emailed it to us. He says, last summer, a not very close friend of mine asked me to buy him an Irish Pub t-shirt. I did. However, I haven't seen him since. With the possibility of the Irish Pub being gone forever, I'm making that assumption as to not get my hopes up. Should I just keep this t-shirt and tell him too bad, or do I now charge him more for it? I think his friend, he said, is just a collector of dive bar t-shirts, which the Irish Pub certainly fits the description.
Mm-hmm.
I would just keep the shirt.
Oh, really?
If it fits, just take it. I mean, you haven't seen this friend in like a year to give him the shirt.
I don't know. I would probably still just give it to him at cost, but I don't need an Irish Pub t-shirt, I guess.
I wouldn't upcharge just because of the potential demise of the Irish Pub.
I mean, if the going rate on eBay is higher, what can you do? It's just market rates.
I think scalping or not scalping, but reselling is what makes the economy go right now, as far as I can tell.
That's
right.
And gambling. Those are the two things, really. That
all hobbies are gambling. Right. Even your kids' hobbies. Like, they want the rainbow dumpling.
Pokemon cards or whatever. Yeah.
Everything's a blind box now.
Got to get those loot boxes.
Yeah. So you're saying just sell it to him anyway.
I mean, that's probably what I would do personally.
What if he has to, like, bug the guy? Like, hey, come get your shirt.
Yeah, if it becomes a hassle or whatever, then just keep it and be like, this is mine now.
Yeah.
Or you could just wear it 3 or 4 times, and then if you see him, be like, oh, here it is.
Yeah, wear it as you want, and then if the other person's like, hey, what happened to my shirt?
Be like, I've got it.
I've got it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit faded.
It's folded for reasons and not, you know, it doesn't have the tag anymore, but it's what you get.
Do you think the Irish Pub shirts ever had a tag? I don't think they did.
Maybe not. Probably not, yeah.
So, brand new, never been worn, listed on eBay.
Yep. All right, so Jimmy H. emailed us to give us a heads up about this Condé Nast Traveler article by Jessica Chappelle from May 23rd. From May 23rd. Atlantic City is America's most misunderstood resort city. Here's why you should visit.
Did you read the article?
I did read it, but it was like 2 weeks ago when you sent it to me, okay. So I don't remember much of it. But yeah, the article offers up where to eat, stay, and play, and some FAQs. In the article, they mention Back Bay Ale House, Koro, Sunroom, all of which I think are quite mid, frankly. Actually, we've really enjoyed the happy hour we did at Kuro, I think. It was just when we actually ate dinner there that we did not really love it for the price.
Yeah, I mean, they also mentioned Knife and Fork, Doc's Oyster House, White House Subs.
I will say Back Bay is a good suggestion, even though the food is fine. Like, the ambiance or whatever is, like, very pleasant. And they've got beer, so.
Yeah, if it's a nice day to sit outside and have a beer and eat some acceptable food, I think Back Bay is great.
Sunroom, I personally thought was bad. Like, my sandwich was just not good.
Sunroom is okay, I think, at best.
I got a Cuban, which is like truly the easiest sandwich to make in the world, and it was like it was like a bad Cuban, frankly, which is like a mid sandwich, basically. But
I think it's a good article for the most part. Like, I do think it's somebody who clearly has spent a lot of time in Atlantic City and sort of gets the vibe. And I think the biggest thing I appreciated about the article was it talks about what makes Atlantic City good and fun and why you should go, and doesn't claim that it's Vegas East, which I think is the trap that a lot of people fall into. Like, oh, it's the biggest gambling market on the East Coast. Like, yes, that's true. But if you're setting people up to think you're getting Vegas on the beach, you're not going to get that, which I don't think most people, like, now their social media is prominent and you can watch videos on YouTube. Like, people will have an idea of what Atlantic City is before they go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the recommendations are very solid, but to nitpick, because I
that's what you do
am a copy editor at heart.
Right.
In the FAQ, it says that the Island Water Park is in Ventnor.
That doesn't sound correct.
It's on the opposite side of Atlantic City from Ventnor, even. So I don't know. I don't know about all that.
It would be more accurate to say it's in Brigantine than Ventnor.
Right. It did make me wonder if the FAQ was some AI nonsense, but
I mean, I think it's possible that it, more than that was AI nonsense, but that is the way things go.
I hate just claiming everything's AI, because I think there's a lot of like, oh, this is AI, when like computer graphics are a thing. People were doing graphic design before AI happened. So not every, but you know, certainly some things are very obviously AI. But it was odd to see Water Park in Ventnor, because why would you even think that in an article about Atlantic City? It makes no sense.
Mm, that's fair. I mean, certainly it is possible that you just make a mistake, which does indeed happen.
But I think it's a good article. I'll link to it. It may be our only link other than that weird hook, Living on a Prayer link.
Yeah.
In the entire show notes. So.
And our link to our new sponsor, of course, Wind Creek Bethlehem.
That's true.
Mount Airy Casino.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys very much for listening. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforawin, where I've been deleting like 10 post submissions a day. Find all of our great content on doforawin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter at doforawin or me and Kyle Askin, and send Craig questions at doforawin@gmail.com, and we will answer them on air, because surely our inbox is empty now, right?
I believe after this our inbox is empty, except for
some resort fees that you need to update.
Somebody really wants us to read a book.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get a lot of weird marketing emails too that are like, have you heard of this casino like in the Navajo Nation or whatever? And I'm like, no, I have not.
Tell me more.
No. All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. I guess that we will have somewhat of a break now, right?
I mean, I think we can be back in 2 weeks.
Ah, 2 weeks. All right. Perfect. Love to hear it.
Well, not 2 weeks from today, because I'll still be in Ocean City, but that week I'll be back.
You mean Atlantic City?
I'll be looking at Atlantic City.
Wistfully.
I'll actually be in 1960s Las Vegas.
Ooh, yeah. You don't have too much of a time at home before you go on another vacation.
Yeah. 4 days.
We'll have to record Tuesday for you to have any hope to get it out before your vacation after that.
Yep.
All right.
And I'll probably be absolutely mobbed at work because I'll be have been off for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be good. It'll be a good time. You'll surely get the best of us and the best editing job on that next episode. So look forward to that.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll talk to you all in a couple weeks.
Do either of your kids ever walk around going, World Cup, World Cup?
No.
Holden does it all the f***ing time. I'm sure it's from some YouTube nonsense. I don't know what it's from. I've never heard any other child do it. It's not like it's 6-7 or something where it's like, oh, kids do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something's broken in his brain.
Sounds right. It's genetic.